Welcome back to DC Talk Up. This is episode number 194. We're recording this on Sunday, March 27th, 2022. I'm Carrie, and Mike is not here again, although this is probably a good thing that he's not here because I'm going to be talking about the Batman without him, and if he were here, he'd get lots of spoilers. But per Random Chatter Network policy, he's not here, so everything that goes wrong tonight is his fault. But I have a treat tonight. I have a guest. I managed to round up a guest. Chris, welcome to DC Talk. How are you?
Hey, Carrie, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm Chris. Me and you know each other through some Star Trek channels. We're also DC fans. So yeah, you just asked me you want to come on. I was like, yeah, why not? I got nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon. Let's do it.
No. There's some award show going on later that I'm personally not paying attention to, but some people might.
Yeah,
I think you said you might be paying attention to it later.
Attention a little bit, but. not too much. We can spare a couple. We can spare an hour or so here. Yeah, sure.
So Chris and I know each other from we hang out with the Mission Log people over on the Patreon Discord and occasionally through Facebook. Although mostly I'm in Discord rather than Facebook because Facebook is accessible. But occasionally I have to lower myself to swim with the trolls and all that. So Chris, tell us about yourself for a little bit before we get on here. You're actually local to me, which is weird. I'm usually recording with people on the East Coast.
Okay.
So this is a new thing for me. I don't have to worry about time zones now. It's great.
I'm a young man, 20-something. I got into DC probably just before Rebirth in 2016. I had found my local comic shop, and so I'd read a couple of trade paperbacks. I read The Crisis. I read Long Halloween, which will be pertinent to our discussion today. And then Rebirth came along in 2016, and I hopped on more number ones, as they wanted me to do. I fell for the trap. Reading DC on and off since then. I enjoy the comics, I enjoy the movies. I'm a big fan of the sort of CW-verse that's been going on. I've been following that for maybe 2013, 2014. But yeah, I enjoy the DC content and excited to talk about some of it today.
Yes. I think we both tend to cross the streams a lot, so I'm sure there will be other franchises bleeding into our discussions. But such is life. We like to live on the edge. As far as crossing the antimatter streams.
Conversation will go where it will go.
Conversation will go where it will go. So just some reminders, we are part of the Random Chatter Network, so please go over to randomchatter.com to check out all of our other shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise through TeePublic. And yes, Tim, if you are listening, which you probably are not, I am making this a competition now. So, ha! I did not mess up. Balls in your court. Like I said, he's not listening, so he probably doesn't realize I've made this into a competition.
That gives you the advantage.
It does. He's one of the co-hosts of the Marvel show on our network, so the rivalry is natural.
Little friendly banter, exactly.
Little friendly banter, yes. So without any further ado, we're going to get on to our brief two news items and then into our main event. So on to our news. So the CW has renewed The Flash, Superman and Lois, and a whole bunch of other stuff, including Kung Fu and Riverdale, a couple other things, which is cool. I'm very excited that The Flash is getting season 9. That makes it almost the longest running DC show ever. Ball's still in Smallville's court for that. And Superman Lois is very, very interesting. getting more interesting. I'm always surprised that I say that about a show involving Superman, because I've never been much of a Superman fan. But Chris, what do you think
I'm glad to see Superman and Lois getting renewed. I've really come to love that. I love Tyler Hoechlin and Biffy Tulloch. I think they have wonderful chemistry. The two boys do very well, so I'm glad to see that. Flash getting season 9. I am intrigued. I like Flash. I feel like we're maybe going to start winding down here. It seems to be the time span. You do 7, Arrow did 8, and even then Arrow's 8 was short and different and weird. So very excited to see Superman and Lois come back. Still waiting on Legends, please.
And Batwoman and Naomi Stargirl got renewed ahead of season 3, and season 3 hasn't even dropped yet, so it would be nice to see all 4 of the outstanding shows get renewed. Especially, I'm going to refer to our lost episode, because Mike and I did record last weekend, but we lost the recording, so I ended up having to re-record the episode by myself. But I did find it interesting that the 2 shows with the least diverse casts are the ones that have already been renewed. The other shows are the ones we're still waiting on.
That is interesting. Yeah, Batwoman and Legends are much more of the wider net. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting there. I will note that I did drive by the Warner Brothers lot yesterday, and the Batwoman poster is the only CW poster up on the side of the building. When you drive up to Barham, we're local, so when you go up Barham,
I have a friend who lives out there. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I had to drive into Burbank, and then I usually drive back over Barham, because I keep forgetting that there's construction over there right now. But yeah, the Batwoman poster is the only CW verse poster that is still up, although that is not an indicator of anything, because they have a tendency to not switch out posters all that often. When I would drive past there more frequently, back when ER was still running, they would frequently just not update the cast poster for, you know, a couple seasons, and then suddenly, that's a new cast. They did change out the cast. Great. They acknowledge it now. Fun.
Yeah, I'm always amused by those, because it's like, it's not like they're even filming there in Burbank. All the CW stuff fills up in Toronto or Vancouver.
But it is a Warner Brothers show, so it makes sense.
It is a Warner Brothers show. You're right. Yeah. You're right. But yeah. We shall see. Hoping against hope.
Yeah.
That Legends comes back, because Donald Faison as the character that he is.
We've already discussed.
Booster Gold.
Donald Faison as Mr. Gold is magic, and apparently Zach Braff wants to come in and play Ted Kord's Blue Beetle. So that would be just amazing.
Right? You can't get one without the other.
Exactly.
In all implications of that sentence.
Well, I still have a big question about where Skeets is. If we have Booster, we need Skeets. But, you know, maybe Skeets is already captured or something. Who knows?
We'll see.
Okay, our other news item here is... We have some casting news for Gotham Knights, which is Misha Collins has been cast as Two-Face. And this is interesting. I mean, yeah, we don't get to see Two-Face all that often in live action, Tommy Lee Jones and Aaron Eckhart notwithstanding, but we don't get actual Two-Face all that often. We did get Harvey Dent in Gotham for like a few episodes, and then he kind of went away. I have a theory that if Batwoman doesn't get renewed, it's going to get rolled into Gotham Knights.
I could see that as a sort of like soft reboot, rebrand thing. It's like, here's her, and here's Two-Face, and whatever else they think Gotham Knights is going to be. I don't know.
Well, see, because here's my thinking on this. Like, okay, we already have Batwoman that's taking place in Gotham. Gotham Knights, presumably, is also going to be in Gotham. There's going to be a lot of overlap there. And I've complained about this to no end. The DC live action habit of heroes on one medium can't exist on another show.
Right, you can't be on both TV and film at the same time.
Cannot be both on TV and film at the same time. Cannot be on two different live action shows at the same time. Annoys the crap out of me.
No, I'm with you there. It's like, you can have everything.
We'll
watch everything, Warner Brothers. Trust us.
Yes, yes. DC fans are smart enough to be able to tell the difference between one version of Superman and another. Then Superman and Barry Allen are the two characters that can apparently only are the only two characters apparently who are allowed to exist on both TV and film at the same time. And even that's not happening because things are delayed. Okay. I will calm down. But the other thing is, like, so, you know, if we have Gotham Knights, the video game is Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, and Barbara Gordon. Well,
yep.
All four of those characters have already showed up on Titans. So are they going to bring those four characters into the CW-verse and let Titans keep going, or cancel Titans? Please don't cancel Titans. Are they going to use other characters? Other,
yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of Robins. I mean,
there's no shortage of Robins. We could get Carrie Kelly or some of the other Robins in there. I think I've seen something where Stephanie Brown is gonna.
Stephanie Brown already on Batwoman. Yeah, she was on Batwoman.
We've already seen her on Batwoman, so she could be one of the Gotham Knights, and that would be kind of cool because I did like Spoiler when I back in the 90s when I was reading comics. So, and we already have Batwing on the team. Are we going to get someone else? Are we going to how is this going to work?
Right,
because they won't let us have Batman on television. We can sometimes have Bruce Wayne, but not Batman.
Maybe that's grown on me that you'd have Batwoman, you'd have Batwing, you could get Spoiler, and maybe somebody else, and then you'd have four. I know, assuming that that's sort of the premise of the show. I don't know if the show was meant to be similar to the game or not. Or
I don't think so. I think the other one they had floated was, and I have a list here.
Was the
Bluebird.
Bluebird.
Yeah, they flipped Harper Row.
Oh, I'd be down
for that. As another possible character. That is a character I am not familiar with, but I am willing to go into a deep dive on her at some point.
She's a little younger, a little more tech savvy. But no, I like her. Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, that is our news for this week. There is not a lot. So we're going to get into our main event now, which is a discussion of the Batman. And there will be spoilers. So if you have not yet seen the movie, duck out now. Come back after you've seen the movie and listen to the rest of the show. It's been fun. We're getting into the Watchtower now with our thoughts on Batman. And my first thought is not so much about Batman, the Batman movie, is that given the change in lineup for 2022, they really need to update the DC trailer for 2022 movies.
Oh, that trailer is just so much bad luck. Like, literally.
I know! It's like they jinxed it. Like, they put out this awesome trailer showing all the stuff that's going to be released in 2022, and now it's not true anymore. And like, I'm sitting there watching it this morning going, yeah, that's not coming out now. That's not coming out now. Shazam has been moved. Yeah, no. No, this is all wrong.
Literally everything but Shazam is great. Okay, fine.
Yeah, everything but Shazam is in 2023 now. Well, and, Black Adam's still coming out in 2022, but they swapped schedules and stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, Chris, what did you think about The Batman?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I went in sort of trying to no expectations. I mean, I like Robert Pattinson as an actor. That's sort of been the hill that I die on in recent years. It's like, no, guys, you're judging him too hard for Twilight. He's actually done good stuff.
Yeah.
So I went in, you know, enjoying Robert Pattinson and, you know, rumors of was it Long Halloween? Was it Year One? Was it X, Y, and Z? But no, I really liked it. I thought Pattinson was very good in the suit. I'm still not super sold on his emo bangs, but that's just a production thing. He can flip back in the next movie.
Well, we don't, to be fair, we don't get to see it. The bangs are, you know, he pulls off the head piece, the mask, puts it down, and pretty much he isn't actually Bruce Wayne for very much of the movie. So I kind of got the disheveled look. Is just like, yeah, he says it up front, like, he doesn't care about being Bruce Wayne. He's pretty much only Batman right now. And the rest of having to deal with, you know, the money and the power and the influence that he could have as Bruce Wayne can go, you know, take a flying leap as far as he cares.
Mm-hmm. But so, no, yeah, I liked it. It's funny, the first time I watched it, I was like, the last sort of like 45 minutes after they capture Riddler and the whole sort of like flood sequence. Mm-hmm. The first time I was like, that felt a little tacked on. But the second time I grew to like it. I was like, okay, no, I get it. Because we're sort of, this is the final step. And, you know, this idea that Batman has to, you know, give up this idea of being only about vengeance is something that really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says, when the Riddler Goon says, I am vengeance, and Bruce has this sort of moment, and then he does his sacrifice, and the leading people out of the water with Thing, and obviously the big, beautiful sunrise shot at the end when he's on top of the Superdome or whatever. So, yeah, I really liked that idea of Batman going from an urban legend to something that, like, inspires people. And
yeah,
I really hope we get more of that in a next movie, because we could have gotten more of that in this movie, and it would have been great. But yeah, I really like this idea of Pattinson going on the journey and thus watching him evolve.
Right. I think he needed that jolt from the Riddler and what the Riddler was doing to kind of pull him out of this mindset that, no, he only needs to be about the vengeance and the brutality and stuff, and he doesn't, that's all he needs to care about. And maybe this is what gets him back into being Bruce Wayne as well, as, you know, now he sees that he can possibly do both, and he's going to need to do both, because he needs to kind of, you know, pull his family's legacy out of the gutter that the city has tossed it into. There were some shades of Long Halloween, if Long Halloween only happened over a week or less than a week. There are some, I thought they were, I kept waiting for them to, you know, transition to Hush.
Same. Yeah. They red herring Hush like so hard with Riddler growing up in the slum and the reporter being named Elliot. I was like, oh, here we go. It's happening. And then it didn't. I was like, okay. Well, all right.
And Matt Reeves has said that he wants to do Hush. So I think the seeds are there, and the idea that Tommy Elliot could be something other than, you know, a rich, you know, trust fund kid who goes off the deep end could be interesting.
I'd like to see, again, because we didn't get a whole lot of what Bruce's life is growing up. He grew up next to the orphanage, maybe, they sort of intimated. They were like, the orphanage was part of the Wayne estate or something. It was very odd.
The orphanage is, it was, basically, the way I read it is, Wayne Manor got turned into the orphanage, and Bruce has been living basically in Wayne Tower.
Okay.
Which is kind of, you know, kind of similar to what Kate was doing in, like, the first, you know, half season of Batwoman. Just, you know, turning that into, like, not just office buildings, but real estate. But I could be wrong, because she ended up not living there at all. But yeah, that's kind of what I read it as. So he's more in Gotham proper rather than, you know, in the suburbs.
Right, out upstate.
Out in the boonies.
Mm, okay. I can get down with that. I like the idea of turning the manor into the orphanage. I don't know if that's true, but I like that take. That's different.
I think I want to say they did it in something else. I just don't remember which version of Batman it was. I want to say there's another version of Batman out there that the manor gets turned into an orphanage. Maybe that was going to be at the end of Dark Knight Rises, but I'd have to go back and watch that again. But that's not the first time I've seen that happen.
Okay. Let's see what else. I do want to say Andy Serkis as Alfred is just. He gets the gold star. Out of a absolutely stacked supporting cast, Andy Serkis is like, no, head and shoulders above everyone else.
You know what? One thing that you always have to get right with the Batman movies is Alfred, and that is one of my many complaints about Batman and Robin is even Alfred sucked. And this is the same Alfred that was in the first three movies, and he couldn't, even he was just totally bad. It was just really bad. I'm not sure where Andy Serkis's Alfred is on my list. I know Michael Caine is, you know, is like the best Alfred so far that I've seen. Andy Serkis maybe floating somewhere around Jeremy Irons and Sean Pertwee.
Yeah, I was going to say.
In the rotation.
Both him and Pertwee have the, like, MI6 sort of fighting spy stuff, which is always a nice take. But yeah, no, I really liked Alfred. The scene when he's in the hospital bed and he's like, you needed a father and you only had me. I'm like, oh, God.
Every time.
I'm like, no, man, you did great.
Yeah, you did fine.
I mean, he's a vigilante. But you did great.
Yeah, no kidding. And I mean, he doesn't have the Jeremy Irons snark, which I will always love. Snarky Alfred. Snarky Alfred is great. But I really like that he was relying on his, you know, service days and stuff and trying to work on the ciphers and the codes and all that. That was really cool. And just the having to explain to Bruce that no, Your father did this thing, and he didn't realize what he was doing when he asked Falcone for assistance. Like, no, dude, you should have known what you were asking for, but okay.
Yeah, that was a bit naive, but I do like sort of earlier when they're at What's-His-Face's funeral, and Falcone is telling that story, and Bruce is like, well, it means he took the Hippocratic Oath. Which I'm pretty sure is in Long Halloween or another comic, this idea that, no, we're just gonna...
It is in Long Halloween.
It is in Long Halloween. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I'm not trying to, you know, get favors from the mob boss. He's like, I'm a doctor. This is what I do. So I really like that little note, because we've seen, like, bad guy Thomas Wayne in, like, the Arkham games and obviously in, like, Flashpoint. But I like the parents being sort of the North Star for Bruce. Mm-hmm. So I like to sort of wrap that back up in that scene. It's like, no, they were good. They were perhaps a little bit, you know, naive, but they were good at their core.
Although that brings up one of the talking points I had on here is that the plot twist of Martha being an Arkham and not a Kane
was interesting.
Because normally, she's Kate Kane's aunt in most versions of Batman.
Yeah, I'd have to go rewatch it and whether they phrased it, whether Arkham is her maiden name or not.
Yeah.
That could also be, I think that was maybe for the people, just to make it easier to connect between Arkham and the asylum. And she was in the asylum. I don't know. I feel like that may have been just like a sort of elision. Like, no, here, this is the, make it easier for you. One less name to keep track of for the newcomers. Could have been that. But yeah, that is interesting. Because the Arkhams do show up sometimes, but they're always like sort of in opposition. They're like the dark family.
Well, they showed up in Batwoman this season. They showed up and one of them showed up and then got killed by the Joker. So, yeah. Or by the new Joker. Or who's no longer the Joker. It's weird. Well, I'm just going to go with it. I also like that this kind of jolted Bruce out of this whole, black and white mentality that he had. It's like, because when he discovers that Selina, knows Falcone, he shuts her down right away. And I've seen him do that in other mediums, especially the Batman Hush movie. He's done that with other people and stuff. And him learning that not only can he be flexible with how he does his job as Batman, but that not everything is as black and white as he thinks it is. This is a guy in his 30s and he's still dealing with a whole bunch of crap and he needs to evolve mentally.
Yeah, that's what I it will be very interesting if we get more of him, to see him sort of become sort of the more iconic hero, because he's proto-Batman and he's taken that first step at the end here. So yeah, definitely to see him sort of continue to change and evolve. Other things I want to talk about. It seems that we may be getting a whole bunch of Pattinson content, because we have a Penguin show, we have an Arkham show that's at least being talked
about.
I haven't heard about the Arkham show.
I know the GCPD show isn't happening, but Penguin got greenlit.
Okay. I think the Arkham show maybe hasn't been greenlit yet, but they were talking about it. They were like, maybe. We might do it.
And I know, like I said, Reeve has floated doing Hush, and both Reeve and Pattinson have floated the idea of doing Death in the Family, which would be interesting.
I could see them doing Death in the Family as maybe like the finale to this like first trilogy. Like if you get him a Robin in 2, and then you maybe have a little bit of Joker, and then like you make Joker the main antagonist of 3. Because also Joker should not be in 2. It's an interesting take. We can talk about that clip. I think you need to build to Joker. So if you get to do that, have Joker be the bad guy in 3, and have the sort of like death of Robin be sort of the big dramatic finale.
But which Robin?
That is tough, because we know Selina went to Bloodhaven,
But this is too early for it to be for him to know. This is too early for any of the Robins, really.
That is true. Yeah, you're gonna
Dick Grayson doesn't goes to Bloodhaven after he leaves.
After he leaves
Batman in the 90s. So,
all right, yeah. I mean, they could get a Jason. Jason is on Titans now. So, I don't know.
Tim Drake is kind of sort of already in this movie, but not really. He's the kid with the half black, half white face.
Oh, in the beginning.
That's the kid.
Okay.
That's the kid playing Tim Drake on Titans. So I'm like, my head just went, oh, Tim Drake's already around. Cool.
Okay. All right. But yeah.
But yeah, we can talk about that clip. They released a clip of basically Joker playing Hannibal Lecter to Batman.
Yeah, which it was like was... he like goes to him trying to help to get Joker to profile Riddler, which I was like, that is interesting. I also there was a nice little detail in there. Batman gives Joker the file, and Joker goes, "Paper is the first anniversary," which I thought was kind of nice. That sort of 0 year was maybe something. Obviously, Joker got locked up for something, and perhaps going back to our thing about, you know, the black and white, maybe that sort of pushed him into the black and white. Is like, no, we have to stop Joker, whatever it takes. And now he's sort of coming back around after Riddler. But yeah, it was, the Joker clip was interesting. I mean, he's very kind of like gnarled and bloody and I don't know. His laugh is all right. His laugh is decent.
And played by Barry Keoghan, who, even in the DC Universe, Drigg is the worst. Like, for those of you who don't know the reference, Barry Keoghan played Drigg in The Eternals, and Drigg is the worst. Right. And even in the DC Universe, Drigg is the worst.
Right. Drigg being the mind control guy.
Yeah.
Took over that village.
Yes.
But yeah, we shall see.
We shall see.
We shall see if we get more Barry Joker.
Yeah, we try not to get into politics a whole lot around here, but I basically with the way that the end went down in the Gotham version of the Superdome, I was actually kind of relieved that they had moved the film back to 2022. I think that, you know, considering events of last year, I think releasing it in 2021 might have been too soon.
Yeah, I can see that. Even right now, you're like, ooh, that is very topical, Mr. Riddler.
You
are right there in my
consciousness. Yes, you are right. You are right there encouraging the bat bleep of Gotham to go and start shooting people. Great. This is way too still a bit too soon, but okay. I had a question. So, did the Riddler know Batman's identity, or was he just lamenting that Bruce got away?
I don't know that he knew for sure, but I think he maybe had a pretty good hunch. I remember when I watched it, up until like that very last moment, it really seems like he knows. But then at the end, he's like, oh, well, we didn't get him. And the fact that he keeps saying like we to Batman, like that to me seems to think that he doesn't know that they're the same person. Because if he's been with Batman, why would he think Batman was helping him kill Bruce Wayne? But yeah, most of that monologue, I was like, do you know? Hush references. Do you know? Yeah.
And even you know, Batman was like, wait, are you about to out me? Are you about to out me? And even when he goes back to Riddler's place, like, is he about to out me? What's going on here? I'm gonna open this file and it could say that Bruce Wayne is Batman and then I'm screwed.
Right, because the file is like called the unmasking or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. Do you want to talk about your distaste for No Man's Land?
It's not distaste for No Man's Land. It's, to be clear, I was actually working in a comic book store back in the 90s when the original version of No Man's Land dropped. So I read the original storyline for No Man's Land. But I think we've done it too many times in the past. It hasn't even been a decade. You know, between Dark Knight Rises, Gotham, Harley Quinn, and Titans, we've kind of done No Man's Land to death. So unless they can do something interesting with it, or different from the last four versions, I'm kind of done with No Man's Land.
I get that. I wasn't like set on No Man's Land. The only reason I went was like, oh, No Man's Land. is I feel like it would be a little weird if we end this movie with Gotham flooded and we enter the next movie and it's like, yeah, we fixed that. we drained it all. We revealed everything. It's fine. Like, it doesn't have to be the whole movie, but I'd like at least some acknowledgement that this was a thing that happened and we had to sort of work back from it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I could see doing that, but, and I like what they turned No Man's Land into, because originally No Man's Land was just the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And No Man's Land originally was, like, it came out, like, right after they had discovered that there were fault lines under New York City. So No Man's Land was supposed to be, like, this, because Gotham City's always been kind of, like, this weird amalgam of, like, Manhattan and Chicago. So No Man's Land was originally supposed to be, like, this theory of what would happen if suddenly Manhattan was cut off from everything else. Due to an actual natural disaster, and then what would happen. And then they kind of, with the movies and the TV shows, they kind of turned it into this, well, like, ginormous hostage situation.
Yeah, it becomes very gang war. Only are we cut off, but everyone sort of, you know, claims their own little bit of the city.
And if I remember correctly, that did actually happen in the original storyline, but they did, you know, clean it up. I think the whole cleanup and stuff went on for about a year in the comics, and then they eventually, you know, got everything back to, you know, some semblance of normal. There were the gang warfares, there was the, you know, dividing up a territory and stuff, but it was mostly due to the fact that, you know, there was like a 7-point earthquake that hit Gotham, and no one could get in or out because there was, you know, all this massive, you know, damage to structures and everything. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't done intentionally.
Right. Or was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an actual earthquake.
It was an actual earthquake. Although I think they did eventually discover that it was some kind of supervillain that had earthquake powers or something like that. I'd have to go back and reread it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, if they can acknowledge it and kind of move on, that would be good. If they could do something more interesting with it than just, you know, turning the entire island into a territory war, they've done that already.
Yeah. No. Also, sequel talk. Nick Cage says he wants to play Eggman. Egghead, Dr. Egg, whatever that is. And I'm like, Nick Cage, though, so.
Maybe. I'm not familiar with that villain.
It's like a deep cut something, but, you know, give Nick Cage what he wants, man. Just let him run wild.
Sure. Sure. Have you seen the trailer for the movie that's coming out that he's playing himself?
Yes, the meta movie with Pedro. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure, we could do that. I mean, he's a good actor. He just, you know, has to keep up his comic book habit, apparently. So he has to take a whole bunch of, you know, not so good movies. I did see something on, I think, Twitter about, you know, using villains that they don't use very often, like, say, you know, Man-Bat or something other than...
Man-Bat would be cool. Man-Bat would be cool.
Who would be cool?
Clayface?
Clayface would be cool. Clayface would be really heavy CGI, though. I'm not sure how that would work. But it's like we always default to, you know, Joker, Riddler, Penguin. So doing something different would be interesting, which would make Hush perfect.
Right, 'cause Hush is just all the classics. Everybody gets a piece of that.
Yeah, yeah. Any other thoughts about the movie before we close out here?
I mean, yeah, we liked it. Let's see. It has what I think probably is the best Batmobile scene in any of the live-action movies. When he, like, guns that up out of the darkness. Maybe not best, but easily top two or three.
I mean, I you know what, I liked it at the second viewing. I thought he you know, went a little too long with it.
Okay, maybe. I mean, you just saw it today. I saw it like last week, so maybe I'm shortening sequences in my
head. I mean, yeah. When you first hear it, it's really intimidating. But you know, at some point, he's like, "Okay, dude, are you gonna go, or are you just gonna sit there and rev your engine?" Like
ominously.
Like at some point, the ominous part goes away, and you're just annoying, or you're just, you know, revving up for a drag race or something.
I know. Poor Gordon's getting shot at. He's like, "You want to go? You
want
to?
Yeah, you want to come? You want to help me out, or are you just gonna gun your engine here?" No. I do like that Batmobile. I think my favorite Batmobile is still the Tumbler, because that's okay. Just a tank.
I dig. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's probably that or the Tumbler. I mean, I just like the concept of, let's just put a jet engine on this charger, like, and you're done. That's it.
And then we're done.
That's the Batmobile. Yeah. I like the simplicity of that, but mm-hmm. that, and obviously, do want to give a shout out to Michael Giacchino, who once again did an excellent score. Man is just putting out bangers left and right.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of, you know, tech, and I really like the tech with the contact lenses. That was really cool. The contact lenses recording all
the Scott Snyder thing from like Zero Year, or one of the, I think it's a New 52 thing. Is he has the like there? Okay. It's like one of the first issues of, I forget exactly when, but I'm on Scott Snyder's like newsletter, and he was like, "Oh my god, the contact lens! They put it in the movie!" So he was very excited.
Well, it also you know, helps. Is like he admits at the beginning of the movie that, you know, he starts to forget things, and so mm-hmm. you know, having some kind of visual and audio record of what happened during the night is probably a good thing if he's losing, you know, time. We don't need him turning into like Tyler Durden or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, get all those concussions, man. There.
No kidding.
All right. I think that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing more of this tape if we get it. But yeah, thank you for having me on. This is a very
thank you, Chris. Yeah. Anytime you want to come back, we will ping me and we will talk.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right. Well, that has been DC Talk episode number 194. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will catch you next week. Bye.